What's that?
There's a bull just working this in front of us. But there's another one that might be closer. Kind of around this corner. Kind of work to this edge right here. That's where it opens up and you can see that whole meadow.
Yeah.
George Hardin, a Shoshone elder, and Justin Washington, a Shoshone tribal member, are crouched behind a stand of trees with the hunting guide from a nearby ranch. In front of them is a small herd of elk.
I smelled them earlier. Can you smell them? There he is.
A bull elk steps out into Hardin's sights, and he shoots. The bull falls, and the group approaches it. Hardin says a prayer over the elk. Hardin is one of the few remaining fluent speakers of the Shoshone language. He has come to this event, put on by the Shoshone Cultural Center, to help educate Shoshone people about the tribe's language and traditions. Hardin grew up in a Shoshone-speaking household, but this is increasingly uncommon. He says that many Shoshone parents he grew up around didn't want their kids to learn the language for fear that they would be punished for speaking it.
When I went to first grade in Ruby Valley, our neighbors, they talk Shoshone, and I used to see them get whipped when they'd talk Shoshone in the classroom. But I was lucky. Like I said, my aunt and uncle were raising their kids to learn English, so I learned English with them so I could speak both, so I didn't get whipped in school.
The forced and often violent assimilation of Native children in American schools resulted in widespread loss of Indigenous culture and language. This has a lasting effect today. Unlike Hardin, Washington didn't have the opportunity to learn the Shoshone language or culture as a child. He was adopted at a young age, so he didn't grow up around his culture. But as he's grown older, he's made an effort to reconnect to his tribe.
The reason why I would like to learn and continue learning is it's a source of identity, something that you can attach yourself to.
And now he wants to pass on what he knows to his two young daughters.
So having George here show me and teaching me and guiding and helping me with the songs and prayers and also how to hunt and process the kill and say prayers over it. It's deeply rooted in our traditions and in our heritage. So to continue it's an honor and a blessing.
The day after the hunt, Hardin shows Washington how to make a war shield using willows and elk hide.
We're going to bend it like that to make a circle, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
Or that'd be the top. And then maybe we'll get another one that we make a circle out of it. We tie them together with body adamo, with elk tendon, or then you make that circle I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put them across like this.
Over the course of the gathering, Hardin shared a wide range of cultural knowledge, including how to make instruments out of elderberry, how to write songs for different occasions, and how to prepare elk meat in the traditional way. For Washington, the experience inspired him to continue learning about and teaching his culture.
Well, sure enjoyed hunting with you.
Yeah, likewise, man.
We got to keep it going.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Because after I'm too old to come hunting, you could be the one doing their singing and
making shields and showing the young bucks how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're here for, to pass it on.
Exactly.
I'm at that stage now where I want to pass everything I learned on. And I'm so glad Justin's willing to carry it on. That's what we need, younger generations and even the younger ones. We need that to keep our culture going.
And that's exactly what the organizers of this event set out to do: preserve the Shoshone language and culture for future generations. For Wyoming Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Blackmer.